Good morning and welcome to Christian Indie Writers Podcast, where we inform, encourage, and support Christian indie writers on their journey to publication. I am Jennifer Carl Tong, and I write historical Christian romance.
I'm Christina Katane, and I write Christian dystopian fiction.
I'm Jamie Hirschberger. I write short fiction under the pen name J.R. Nichols.
I'm Rhonda Hagerman, and I write fiction and nonfiction.
Good morning, everyone. We have Maria and Jason already chatting it up in our chat. Good morning, everybody. It has been a while. It's been a hot minute since we've been here. But before we get into that, we like to start each of our episodes with a segment that we call our What's Up. It's time to check in with one another and see where we are with our writing and our personal lives. So I'm going to pick on Rhonda because she hasn't had me pick on her yet today for anything. So.
Okay. What's the question? Okay. What am I just doing in the future? Let's see.
No, what's up? What's up right now? What's up? See, you are in vacation mode still, I think.
Yes, completely. I am so out of like my normal routine. I don't even know. I'm just going to start a brand new routine. But what's up for me is more seashelling. I've already been on the beach this morning and I plan on going back as soon as possible.
Awesome. We have some people chatting already. We already said hi to Jason and we said hi to Maria. Hey, how's you guys doing? We have Ogugwe is here. Good afternoon or evening for you, Ogugwe. Glad to have you in our chat again. Hey, Piper, how are you doing? Shell's here as well. All right, Tina, what about you? What's your what's up?
Well, I've been working on all my pre stuff for before I can start writing. And I'm getting there and I'm almost to that point. Well, at least I thought I was. And then because I've been following the Story Genius book. So I opened up the last chapter and it said, okay, now do all of that for all your characters.
I remember that part.
So I was like, oh, I might have a little work to do.
Wow. Do you feel good about the work though? Does it feel like?
Oh yeah, I really do. It's right in my wheelhouse of needing to take time and kind of daydream about the story and the characters and I'm developing the scene cards ahead of the writing. And it's, you know, it's very similar to what you do with the storyboard, except it's not just plot points. Like I'm completely developing each scene on this card before I write. So it's a little bit different, but I'm really enjoying it.
That's awesome. I can't wait to see how that works out.
Me neither.
Teresa says, good morning. Glad you are back. We are glad to be back as well. Mm-hmm. It's been fun being having a little break, but I've missed everybody. So I have been, I had a great Christmas, had a great time with my family. And I've told the ladies too that I started a cleanse. Like this, it's not like what you think. It's because I don't do that kind of stuff. But there's this cookbook that I have that I love. And somebody that I follow on Instagram was going to go ahead and do it. I thought, all right, I think I'll do this. Like there's recipes, but then there's like, you know, eat this today, eat this tomorrow. And if this person was going to do it, then I could like watch them. And if they like the recipes or not, then I could do it. Right. There's someone else to try the recipes before I actually start to cook. Like that was my thing. Like, I don't want to sign on to doing a whole week of this if like some of these recipes aren't what I want to do. Mm-hmm. So anyway, so I've been doing that. And part of it is you have to give up dairy and nuts and coffee. And when I got to the coffee bar, I'm like, I tried. I'm like, mm-mm. So baby steps. I've given up dairy mostly. I put a little bit of cream in my coffee still. And I gave up nuts and nut flours and everything. And I do feel better. I got to say, I do feel better. So that's what I've been up to. I have been back to office hours this week. Haven't got a lot of writing done. A little bit. I'm back into my story. I love my characters. So all I got to do is like read a little bit about what I wrote. And then I get back all into my characters. So that's what I've been up to lately. Piper says that she completed her first draft of her sequel on Christmas Eve. That's awesome. And I've gotten it back from development edit and have to add a couple scenes, but she said it is my best yet. Yay. Oh,
that's probably really nice to hear. I wouldn't know. But I can imagine.
It was your first. It was your first, Tina.
I know.
Right?
I'm just saying.
That's hilarious. Maria said, Her what's up? I finished my edits for my third historical fiction novel just before Christmas. Awesome. Then this week I started proofing it and started a first draft of the fourth novel. Yay. I saw that on Instagram. I did. I don't think I liked it though. I was busy doing something, but I did see that scroll across there. So, and then she says, more personally, Christmas was pretty quiet. We could only see one other household on Christmas in Wales, two in England. And now we are in another national lockdown in the UK. Ours was quiet too, but mostly because we've lost so many people in the past few years. Piper says, also, I've started the Write Better Faster 101 course to see if I can get a better routine system and be more proficient. Ooh, can't wait to hear more about that. Mm-hmm. Speaking of not being able to wait to hear more, J.R. Nichols, I cannot wait to hear. What is your what's up today?
Well, you're about to be let down because there's nothing really exciting going on over here. Although I have to say, it is really great to be back to the podcast. I was like, something doesn't feel right. Because Friday would come and Friday would go and there would be no podcast. So I'm just so happy to be back is how I feel. Happy to see everybody. Really glad to see people were still writing. Good for you guys who were not slackers like me and who like were responsible and stuff. And that's pretty much what's up with me.
All right. See, I'm so out of it. Like, okay. Oh, I'm hosting, right? Like, normally I'd be like, all like, but we've been, I feel like we've been off for way more than 2 weeks.
Doesn't I it know. Feel like that? It's our first episode back. I hope people are not expecting much.
Yeah.
No, are they ever expecting much?
True. But same thing with my writing this week, too. Like, I feel like when I came back to the computer, I was like, oh, I felt like I was gone for months. And it was 2 weeks. But like it was enough to me not to be in the jive of it again. So we'll see. We'll get back there.
Well, it just goes to show you too, if you're being real productive, you might not want to schedule yourself a break that is that long because then maybe you would lose a momentum if you had some going. So sorry. Sounds like you were segueing. No,
absolutely true. Well, let's do one more what's up. But I agree with what you said in an ideal world.
Right.
If I didn't have everyone else around me, like there'd be so much stuff going on with my house.
And it was Christmas. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm just saying, like, you may not want to schedule a vacay if you're productive.
Right. Jason says, my what's up? Been working on developing my villain's motives. More personally, been trying to work through a lot of family drama and have been kind of struggling. Oh, that's too bad, Jason. We're sorry. Teresa says, thinking about the plan counts, right?
Yeah.
Because I took December off too, but spent a lot of time thinking about what I want to do.
What a great segue.
Yeah. We took it off too. And we want to talk about today. We're going to talk about what to do next. So we're going to get back on track today. It is 2021, whether you want it to be or not, but it's time to get back on track. And today we are going to start talking about the business of writing, because it isn't just about writing your book. There's more to it. As an indie writer, you have to do a lot more than just write the book and be like, okay, I'm done. So today we want to talk about this week's topic, which is writing as business. Is it a hobby or is it a career? So first of all, we want to talk about why is it important that we answer this question, ladies? Why do we even have to care whether our writing is a hobby or if it's a career?
I am politely allowing you two to go. Tina, sounds like you're going.
Yeah. I was just going to say that if you're thinking of it as a career or if you're thinking as a hobby, changes a lot of the decisions that you might make about how you're going to publish, how you're going to market, what kind of money you're willing to spend, how much time you're willing to set aside away from your family. All that kind of stuff.
Right. Because if it is just a hobby for you, we really here would strongly say, don't spend hundreds and hundreds of dollars on courses and seminars, unless you have that to spend, right? Unless that's just a, you know, but you have to make these decisions because if it is more than a hobby, then you are going to be treating it differently, right?
Right.
What are the reasons? Is it important that we answer this question?
Well, you want to be careful how you spend your money because you're going to want the best cover and editing that you can afford. But when it comes to improving your craft, you might not want to invest so much in courses or seminars or things like that if you're not planning to get a return on that investment. If it's a career, I mean, when you're knitting, you're not looking at getting a return on that baby sweater that you're knitting if it's a gift for your friend Susie. Do you know what I'm saying? So you don't care what you're spending on wool. But if you're running it as a business, then you need to know that what you're charging for the sweater is going to cover your expenses. Do you know what I'm saying? Because that's just basic business economics.
Yep. I agree with the money part, but I think that if you don't know in your own mind if it's a hobby or a career, then the people around you aren't going to know that either. And they're not going to take you seriously if you're not.
Ooh, that's a great point.
Well, because it can be very difficult to, if you're a stay-at-home mom, having your family members understand that you need the time to write and you need to be able to concentrate. And, you know, so you need to make sure if you want it to be a career, make sure everybody else knows that also.
Absolutely agree. And then you think about it too, like your conversation, like my husband and I had to have conversations about this and because financially it will affect my family both ways, right? Eventually when my career takes off, which it will because I'm working my career, then it'll affect my family that way. But in order to get there, like, you know, plus my time, right? My kids respect my time as well. But if it was just a hobby, they, you know, and I treated it like a hobby, if I treat it like a hobby, they're not going to treat it like a career when I want them to, you know?
Right. That's why it's important to honor your writing sprints and not jump up if somebody says, you know, mom, I need you, if they're not dead or bleeding, if you've told them this is my business. Like if you had a job, you know, in a call center or something and you were working in your office, you would hire someone to mind the children so that they wouldn't disturb you. You have to take it as seriously as you would take any other professional commitment. Now, there is some flexibility because you are working from home, but it's more or less like a mindset, I think, which is reflected in your behavior. And people will only respect your time and your business to the degree that you do, I think, is what Rhonda was saying.
Right. And Jamie, you said something before too, before we were on air, like in our other meeting, about imposter syndrome.
Yeah. Right. Unfortunately, I know a lot about imposter syndrome. I don't know the particular thing that you,
That's totally fine. We talked about that, that in imposter syndrome, like we feel like we're an imposter. It's hard for us to say I'm a writer when you are, but if it's good for you to answer this question, whether you are a writer as a business or as a hobby, so that you can fight back against, right? Do you remember now what you were saying?
Yeah, I do. Except I think that the point I wanted to make was a little bit more deeper into the discussion, because we haven't really gotten to like why you would call it a career versus a hobby. Okay. And that's, you know what I mean? Like it's really meaty there and I don't want to barf all that out right now.
All right, well, then let's move on and let's talk about this. First of all, what is the difference between a hobby writing or a career for career writing?
I know it's tricky because I'm published, okay? I published short stories. I have two in print and two that are ebook only. And so I could say, well, I have a writing career, couldn't I? But then as we were planning for this episode, this is where it came up, Jen, is we were talking about why does it feel wrong to call it a career? That's it, Jen. Yes. Because we were struggling with like, how much effort do you have to be putting in to call it a career? Like, where are you crossing over now to where this is your writing career? And that's when we start to talk about, you feel like an imposter if you say you're a writer and someone says, well, how many books have you published? Right? Or if you say, I have a writing career, and someone says, well, how many books did you sell last year? Are you on the bestseller list? Have you written anything I've heard of? And you know, all those questions come at you when you dare to say, I have a writing career. So it's really just fear of what other people are going to say about you that is at the root of it. And it's very powerful. It controls me. I admit it.
And for me, it's not about what other people think. For me, like I'm a word person, and like in my Bible study, I dig out the original word and try to dig up like the true picture of its meaning. And to me, the word career just felt heavy and cumbersome. And like there's a lot of pressure associated with it and rules that you have to follow. And I've never been a person who likes to follow rules. You know, like I've always kind of been a rebel. And so I really like the term entrepreneur better than career, which, I mean, it's just semantics. It is a career, but I just don't like that word.
Right.
For me, it has a negative connotation.
We talked off camera earlier this week that, you know, for you, you want to call it business, not call it career. And to me, those words are interchangeable. So we just want to put that out there so that people understand, like, if that's a hanging point for someone else. But to me, it's the same thing. Like, so we just don't want to get confused, but like, appreciate Tina sharing that. So if anyone is feeling like, well, it's not a career, but I want to make money off of it, then you're maybe using the word business would be better for you. Is that where you feel, Tina?
Yeah. Find your own word, whatever like makes you feel happy. Well, I tell people I'm an author when they ask me what I do.
But
they'll say, well, what have you published? And I say, well, I've written articles and I've ghostwritten. So I go with like that stuff first. And then I say I've published a novel. So sorry, Jamie, go ahead.
No, that's sorry. I think we're going to get into it in a couple more points here on the outline. So just wait patiently.
Okay. So let's try to decipher then between a hobby and a career or a business. So if it is a hobby, then we talked a little bit earlier about how any hobby will cost money, right? You mentioned like knitting a sweater. So is it okay to spend some money on it if it's a hobby?
Well, I think of all my scrapbooking friends and the thousands of dollars that they spend on all their little trinkets and their paper and all their stuff that they use. And really they're making scrapbooks for their families and their friends. And it really is a hobby, but they spend that money because it's important to them and it makes them feel happy. Mm-hmm. I think it's more of a mindset of how you look at the money you spend. Is it an investment or is it, this is money I'm spending on me because this is my leisure time. This makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah. I'd rather spend money on craft supplies than, I don't know, Prozac.
Good point.
Thank you.
Hilarious. All right. Because publication doesn't have to be your goal and you could still be a writer, correct? Would you guys agree with that?
Mm-hmm.
So I think part of it is that we need to realize as writers that that publication isn't always the goal and that's okay. So don't worry about other people. People will ask you questions like, you know, well, what have you published or blah, blah, blah. Well, we're going to talk next week about business plans and that will help you kind of answer some of those questions. But it's important to know that like, if you are a writer and you love writing and you do it a lot, but you don't really have this like yearning to publish, that's okay. It doesn't have to be your goal, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, let's talk about Jamie. I was going to move on to the answer for each one of us individually. Did I miss what you wanted to talk about, or is that where you want?
I don't know. I feel like the difference between is this a hobby and is this a career is a big word people don't like, which is discipline. Nobody wants to be disciplined to even honor their commitments to their own self. If you tell yourself, I'm going to publish a book, and then you don't, no one cares but you. So I guess the answer is it a hobby or is it a career? Is if you're willing to set some deadlines and keep them in order to reach some goals, because that's how you get ahead in business. If you want to have a hobby, do it when you feel like it. Do it when it's fun. Do it when the moon is full and everything is just right and perfect. But if you want this to be your business or your career, you have to set and honor deadlines and keep them to yourself. And I think that that's the big determining difference for me.
I agree. I also think we need to clarify something. Teresa says, I've been waiting to be a writer forever, but I never got past the finish line. So labeling myself a writer felt wrong. But when I heard the term hobby writer, it felt less threatening. So maybe that helps people. But I want to be very clear. We're not talking about, are you a writer or are you not?
Right.
We're all writers.
Absolutely.
What we're trying to clarify is your writing a hobby or is, which is not an insult.
Nope.
Is your writing a hobby or is your writing a career? And the only not the only reason, but one of the big reasons that we want to have you really think about this and clarify this for yourself before moving forward in 2021 is really the financial aspect. We see lots of writers that are spending money, maybe because some people will start referencing them as a writer. When if you start writing, you're a writer.
Right.
Don't worry about it.
Doesn't cost you a cent.
But you, for yourself, needed to make these decisions. And is it a hobby or is it not? And if you, like Jamie said, if it's about the dedication and about putting in the discipline, then we will support you spending that money. But we might call you to the carpet if you're spending an hour, maybe 2 a week writing, but then you want to buy all the courses. That makes sense.
Exactly. Yeah. So, and I think that really helps to display our heart about having this episode, because it isn't about categorizing or dividing. It's about saving you from yourself, because I'm telling you, it's this or I come on here every single time I see yet another seminar for only $300 that will turn you into a writer. Like, I'm so sick of it. I can't even stand it. And it's New Year's resolution time, and they're all going to be out there trying to lure new writers in to this scheme or that scheme. Send me your money and I'll make you a best-selling author. And it just really gets under my skin. And that's all I'm going to say about it.
Some of them are legit, but it depends on where you are in your journey. And you need to be aware of that yourself. This is great. Piper says, our cranberry farm is not enough to sustain a family on, but takes enormous number of hours and thousands of dollars to do. I've told hubby to consider it a hobby to take the stress off the harvest.
Great,
because what if this is stressing you out? Like, at what point can I call myself a writer? And why don't you just write and be a writer and then work at it? And then eventually you'll make the decision that, okay, this is my career. And then you start putting things into place like that. So, and it's okay if you show up every week here with us and it's just a hobby. Praise Jesus, you're writing. And maybe someday you'll just keep writing and all of a sudden you'll realize you have something to publish. That's okay too. That can happen.
And another secret reason we want you to know if this is a career or a hobby is so you know if you could skip next Friday's episode, which is making a business plan. But don't skip it even if writing is only a hobby, because we're still going to have fun and shenanigans.
Always.
We're going to talk about making goals too. So
Yes.
Jennifer says, if you write published or not, you're a writer. A business does take time that you set aside and discipline.
There we go.
Yes.
And I'd like to say too that from the beginning of time, in every culture, there have been storytellers. Mm-hmm. And it's because the stories are in them and they have to express them. And so if you're a storyteller, then that's naturally going to flow into being a writer. And maybe you only tell your stories to yourselves, or you only tell them to your children or your family. And that's fine, because that's just the way we were wired.
True.
As humans.
I agree. Also, there are always going to be naysayers in your life. There are always going to be people that say, oh, you're a writer. Are you published? There are always going to be people that are going to say, oh, you're published. Are you with a traditional publisher? There are always going to be people that are going to find something that they feel like they can use to judge you. And all you need to do is say, bless your heart, and walk away. Because that is not how you decide that you are a writer or you are a career writer. Publishing in today's day and age is not what it was 30 years ago. And we know that, and we're going to make it and work it that way. And the people that are making those comments know nothing about the publishing world. So don't let them judge you. Don't let their judgments affect you, because it doesn't mean anything. They don't know anything.
And not everybody that asks if you're published is necessarily trying to be a naysayer. Maybe they just want to read your writing. Like, where can I read it might be a better question. Like, where can I read your writing? But people don't think that way. So they say, are you published?
We should do a whole episode on encouraging things you can say when you meet someone who says, I am a writer. We can all brainstorm, and then we can come back and be like talking about that.
Promise our audience isn't the right audience for them.
No, because they're already so encouraging. They're really great.
For sure. All right. So let's each of us take a moment and talk about whether or not this is a career for us or if it is a hobby. And then we'll check in with the chat too. So Rhonda, why don't you go first? We haven't heard from you in a little bit.
Okay. So I've got it compartmentalized in my mind, my fiction and my nonfiction. So my fiction, I have so many stories that I want to tell, but right now my nonfiction is really what I care about. And that is connected to my genealogy. And that whole section of my life is my business life. My fiction for right now is more of a hobby. Not that I don't want to finish a book. I want to finish all these stories. But all of the marketing that has to go into fiction books and all that,
you're not there yet. Right now. And that wouldn't be part of your business plan this year because you're not there yet, right? We're going to talk about business plans next week. Okay. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right, Tina, how about you?
I consider myself, and I like this term that Joanna Penn uses, an authorpreneur. And it's really a mindset for myself because I am not great at self-motivation. And so I need a little bit of pressure in order to motivate myself to do, like, this is your job. You need to treat it like your job and do all the things that are necessary, the amount of discipline you need, whatever. But if I get too much pressure, then it freezes me up. So I have to have this happy medium. And so I have this mindset. I'm an entrepreneur. It's a small business. I'm starting it myself. I'm making my own rules. And then when I look at things like self-publishing Formula 101, I look at them in terms of this is an investment in a long-term entrepreneurship that I am going to be continuing. And so over time, like my first book is probably not going to pay for it. All the stuff I invested in, all the courses and all that, my first book is not going to cover that. But over the long term, I hope to make a profit. and so that's my mindset.
But how did you get to that point? You told us off camera there were three questions that you asked yourself.
Oh boy, I'm supposed to remember that.
No, it's in the outline.
Oh, well, I guess I could look at the outline.
Okay, I will read your, I will read it for you
because it is it. It's okay. Oh yeah, well I mentioned the pressure. Do I really want that pressure? And I don't want too much, and that's why I have to be careful because, like I said, too much pressure will freeze me up. Do I want to earn a living? Yeah, I'd like to one day. And do I want to treat it like a job? And I just said I want to treat it like a job, but one that I'm in control of, not that someone's out here is telling me you have to do this at this time for this long.
So I think those are three really, really good questions that we can all ask ourselves. So I appreciate that, Tina. Thank you.
Thanks.
What about you, Jamie?
Well, my answer is that I don't have an answer today, and I am going to continue just moving forward in the direction that I've been going because I've been really struggling with even what answer I was going to give today. And the bottom line is, for me, the difference comes down to money. I have a certain amount of hours in my day, and I can only afford to have hobbies in certain amounts of my day. It's just facts because there's enough time in my life for a certain amount of TV watching, a certain amount of movie watching, a certain amount of guitar playing, a certain amount of quality time with my family, etc. And right now, financially, it makes sense for me to spend that time with writing. But our financial needs are such that I might have to drop everything, and financial might be really super important to our family. So my goal is to create a business plan so that if I can be profitable, hooray, now I don't have to run out and worry about an income. But so you see, this is a highly personal situation, and this is what I encourage everybody to do. Like, you can't say everybody who wants to publish a novel has to have a business plan. I didn't publish a novel, but I published a book just to say I did, because I knew someday I would be exactly here feeling all mad at myself because I haven't published a novel yet. What? Why?
Why?
So I'm like, whose deadline is that? Well, that's self-imposed. So I had to sit down and really think about my personal reasons for wanting to write this novel. And where it lands is it's a hobby because I want it to please me, not a market, not a trope, not a genre. So I'm not writing to market. How can that be a writing business? I refuse to write to market. That's dumb if you have a writing business. So my business is a hobby until and unless it starts making me some green. Now, I've got a plan that might turn out the golden eggs, maybe, but I have to wait and see.
All right. Teresa says, if I'm going to publish, I'm going to do it with a business or career mindset. I can't put something out there if it isn't polished and done as professionally as possible. And that costs money. I'm 100% on board with that as well. Though I would like to agree with Tina that I have done courses that are investments in my, like, again, because I've the mindset and shared with my husband, then we were able to do those things that we made those choices. Do I do every course I want to do? No, because like Jamie as well, there are financial aspects, right? So Maria says, entrepreneur, I like it. Piper says, your first year or two out of college, your first year or two out of college doesn't pay for that education either. Long-term outlook is the way to go. Very good point. Very, very good point, Piper. Okay. So for me, very much like Tina, I had to look at it like, I guess I can't even say that I had to look at it. Like I knew from the get-go that this was going to be a career for me. Like people will start asking me once I had my third child and she was like starting to get out of diapers. They started asking me, are you going to go back to the classroom? Cause I used to teach and I knew I didn't want to because I had three older stepchildren and they were in school and they needed me more than my toddlers did. Like I knew that my kids needed me for the long haul. But I also knew that like, I didn't want to just be a mom. Like being a mom is plenty, but I had something burning in me to be a creative and I'd wanted to be a writer my whole life. And it, like what Teresa said, like if I was going to do it, I'm doing it and it's going to be my career. And I've kind of felt like that way the entire time. So when I do spend money, I don't spend it haphazardly, but it is an investment. And like Tina, like it's the long haul. So for me, I know that it is a career for me. However, do I always treat it that way? Not always. Like sometimes it's hard to get out of bed in the morning. Sometimes I'm like, oh, I could be doing this instead. You know what I'm saying? So the business aspect of it is where I have struggled to really have, and I've never had a business plan. So when this topic came up, then I'm like, all right, I'm all in. This is going to be my career. Then I'm going to do business plan. So next week, we're going to talk more in depth than that. And I think too, if you're watching or listening now and you're like, well, I don't know if it's a career or if it's a hobby, tune in next week, because when we do the business plan, if as we're doing it or as we're talking about it, if there are aspects that you're like, nah, I ain't doing that, then it probably is a hobby, right? And that's okay. That is good. This is why we're having this conversation. So we as writers can make these decisions about our future. Right, ladies? Pardon me.
Yeah, except I like what Teresa says because it feels exactly how I feel. She says, I think the word makes it career sound like it has to be a 40 to 50 hour week commitment with full time potential. Mm-hmm. But calling it a hobby makes it sound like it isn't important when it is. And yeah, I feel like it really diminishes what I do to call it a hobby. But with the criteria we put forth today, I have no choice.
See, and I guess I didn't. So maybe that. So this is the word problem that Tina had earlier. We're talking about was the word career.
Exactly.
So if we stop calling it career, what would you say? Business versus hobby. Because then you set how many hours you could be a part-time business for you, and it could still be like your job. Correct, ladies? Because mm-hmm. if I had to go get a job right now, I would not get a full-time job. I couldn't. My children need too much of me for me to have a full-time job right now.
Exactly.
So, all right. Piper says the course I am taking asks if we are full time or part time writers. And she says I am part time. All right.
I have a Stevie Wonder song playing in my head, but it is not safe for. Well, it is safe for radio, but it's questionably Christian.
Oh, Marie says I like the sound of the business plan topic next week. Good. I'm glad. So that means that you're going to tune in, right?
And tell all your friends.
Yes.
All right. All right. So we've come to the conclusion that the word career is possibly too heavy for everybody. Plus, we also talked about this off air, that if you define career, it's like basically your whole life, which, I mean, that means that I would never have a career because I've had I've had different careers. I was in radio for a while. I was a teacher for a while. Now I'm a writer. So possibly the word career, that's the problem. So let's try to set the mindset then for next week when you come into it, you're trying to decide if this is your hobby or this is your business, right?
Sounds awesome. Good.
Maria says, yep, I'll be there. Guess what? So will I. It'd be exciting. Speaking of exciting, ladies, this is our favorite time of the episode as we move into the feeding of the backs. What was that? Yes. If you're new here, we have a feedback time every week. Now, if you're in a regular writing group like we are or used to be together, you would have a time where you would share your writing and have a critique time. But that is published, not published, sorry, that is edited and nice, neat things that you bring to your writing group. When somebody presents to you something that is raw and unedited, then you're looking for a cheering time. And this is what we do. Right before the podcast starts every week, we sit down for 15 minutes and we sprint with a writing topic. This week's topic, anyone have it handy or do you guys want me just to say it?
I have a ridiculous amount of fill in the blank.
Yes. I own a ridiculous amount of dot, dot, dot. And Jamie, you always pick on me. So I'm going to pick on you to go first today.
All right. And sorry for anybody who pays attention. I did not click go live on StreamYard this morning. So you did not get to see me type it live, saddish radish, but here it is anyway. Okay. There is no way we are getting through all of this today. Jerry pulled off one of his gloves with his teeth and immediately regretted the maneuver, looking down at the garbage bag he'd recently filled. I know, but if we keep going, we might be able to see the floor before we knock off for lunch. Mel's energy seemed never ending, though her quest to conquer mocha lattes was also seemingly perpetual. And an admittedly jealous Jerry considered might have accounted for some of that extra energy and pep in her step. Their daughter, Belinda, was also still going strong, as she had been the one sent off to fetch each of those coffee jaunts. It had been done for her own protection. The girl loved her grandmother, but was entirely insect phobic. She was currently blissfully sweeping piles of empty water bottles into a recycling container. Jerry winced, remembering the gigantic cockroach he'd encountered in that corner only an hour before, and reached for his wallet. Belly, why don't you run on up to the ACO and get us another box of trash bags? Dad, I just got back from the store. She said the final word with an exaggerated swoop, turning it into two syllables and morphing it into a word that sounded like store. Don't sass your father, Mel said, polishing off her fourth mocha latte and slamming the cup into the bag Jerry supported. It's a good idea for you to get out. Breathing this stuff isn't good for anyone. You're in here and you're pregnant, Belinda said, folding her arms and nodding significantly at her mother's middle. Mel's eyes grew wide and I saw the muscles of her jaw tighten the way they do when she's keeping herself from saying something I know she would regret. Since I, for once, actually have a clue what that might be, I speak up. Belly, come on. You know your mom can't really talk about that yet. I moved to pull a 20 from the billfold. Well, we'd better talk about it soon, the teen huffed, snapping the bill from my hand before I had it half out of the wallet. Just not in front of my mother. Thank you very much, Mel snarled in a half whisper. But most of it only bounced impotently off Belinda's back as she headed for the door. As if the words had conjured the little raisin, Mel's mother appeared from seemingly nowhere, as though she had manifested from the crumpled and discarded papers I'd passed on the way into the family room. I have an unusual amount of time on my hands lately, she said, and it was all I could do to keep from crying. She stood hands on hips, looking first this way, then that, surveying what she must see as her kingdom of precious treasures. My heart broke for the diminutive creature standing alone among the detritus of her marriage, her life. But having offered her help more times than I could imagine, and having dug her out of her self-inflicted nightmare more times than 3, 2, 1.
How many thousands of words was that? So much.
500 and something.
Wow. So well done.
Yeah.
Gosh, you can really nail the teenager. You'd think you had teenagers or something.
Yeah. Our teenagers don't act like that.
I spent a lot of time around teenagers. I was an American Heritage Girls for 10 years. I was a Pioneer Patriot leader. They're 14 to 16. Boy, are they fun. Woohoo!
You're a better person than me.
Yes. Oh, I prefer teenagers over any other age group, but that was awesome. I really love, did you hear me cheer when you said Jerry? I was like, cheers,
yeah, I've never written his point of view before. It was fun.
I noticed that. And I like it. I like, you could do a sequel to your book, but it'd be all from Jerry's point of view. Wouldn't that be fun?
Oh
yeah. I love it.
He's so confused.
Jamie, yeah. I like how you add background. It's sort of like, when you're in a diner and there's background noise, like the tinkling silverware or whatever, you add the background, what's going on behind the players. And I really enjoy that part.
That is a very special compliment. Thank you. I like that. Yes. Thank you. That's nice. Ooh.
Shell says, wow, so packed full of great description characters.
Thank Agreed. You.
Agreed.
I got so like caught up part. In it, I forgot to look for anything to.
She didn't use the right one, right word.
Oh, did I use the wrong? I have so many.
Unusual instead of ridiculous.
I almost forgot to even use the prompt. It came swooping in at the end to save me. All right. That's awesome. Thanks everyone for all the kind words. It's my favorite part of the week. Words of affirmation is my love language. Who's next?
I'll go next so that you don't have to hear me later on. So, okay. This is actually a little creative nonfiction, which I
like it already.
I know.
Right. Nice.
I come from a long line of hoarders. My grandparents, who lived through the Great Depression, were hoarders. Not in the gross, my house could be featured on the A&E reality series kind of way, but more in the scratch your head, why do you have so many of this kind of way? When my grandfather died, we found dozens of items in multiples. True, part of this phenomenon was due to laziness. If he couldn't find a tool he needed, he would go buy another one rather than look for the one he already owned. But he never took the time to release the extra items, instead choosing to hoard them in case there was ever a world shortage of Allen wrenches or Phillips head screwdrivers. Mm-hmm. My grandmother was a simpler woman. Her house was always impeccably neat. Though she kept it tidy with some resentment, often telling me that she had to because she was a pastor's wife and congregants held the expectation that they could stop by at any time of the day or night and the house should be in order. When I was little, I remember thinking that I should never marry a pastor because I had far too many snarky comments that bubbled in my brain at the thought of someone saying that to me. Although my grandmother didn't have much, she chose certain items to hoard, namely food. I can recall shelving in their basement filled with cans, not all of which were from the current decade, mind you. But never do I recall her checking dates or even throwing any food away. She was a terrific cook. Maybe she had to be to disguise the 13-year-old green beans she was serving you. Mm-hmm. Then there was my mother, the woman who gave birth to me, who nurtured me and raised me to be the woman I am today. She, my dear reader, took hoarding to a whole new level. To this day, as dementia and Alzheimer's has taken so much from this woman, the one thing it has left her with is her ability to hang on to every item that comes into her possession. When raised with such a legacy, a person can choose to continue the line of destiny or they can choose another path to learn from the mistakes of their ancestors. I hope that I have chosen to learn from my loved one's mistakes. However, I am not immune to the lure of hoarding. In fact, as embarrassed as I am to admit it, I own a ridiculous amount of 3, 2.
Oh,
I'm not even kidding. That's when it ended. And I was like,
that was perfect.
What would you say? Plants?
I don't know.
You might give me the credit.
That was supposed to be my what's up is that I killed a plant. But I have nowhere to put it. It's not all dead. I'm trying to like nurse it back, but there isn't I didn't mean to click that. But there is no way for me to like move it anywhere right now. So it's like everyone just gets to see it dead. No. I don't know. I honestly don't. I'm sure I know there are things I hoard. I'm sure of it. Like I pause to think about it and then it's a 3, 2, 1. I'm like, okay. So, oh well.
Jennifer,
sorry about
that. Yes. My mother also has decades old things in her cupboard.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So go ahead, Rhonda.
Jennifer, just imagine your grandchildren or even your great grandchildren reading this and learning so much about their ancestors before them. Mm-hmm. Yeah, people don't think about writing down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think to develop this because like I really only like scratched the surface of like, you know, like in my mom, I kind of went through that paragraph really quickly. And did you guys notice that I wrote it in past tense with my mother?
Oh,
my mother, for those of you know, my mother is still alive. But she does have pretty severe dementia. She's not in a home. She's still with my dad and she still has good days. But, so it wasn't until I was reading it out loud that I was like, I realized I wrote in past tense, which was heartbreaking to me that I did that. Mm-hmm. And it was just natural.
Wow.
But, so sorry.
She's not gone. But she's not the same person, if that makes sense.
So she kind of is gone. She's kind of gone. Yeah. Sorry. It's yeah.
Shell says, no, haha, good stuff, Jen. Thanks. And Piper thinks I cheated.
It was a really nice way to use the prompt because like Rhonda said, those kind of writing entries that people don't think like just the fact that you would use an everyday object, you never know when that particular object would be like, what? We don't even have that anymore. You know?
Yep. And I was really feeling your grandma and the whole pastor's wife thing.
Yeah.
I remember when my husband told me he wanted to become a pastor and I was like, I can't be a pastor's wife. Like I can't keep my house clean. Like that was like the first thought that came into my head.
I have this memory of being in the garden with my grandmother back in the 80s, early 80s. And she was wearing culottes. You guys know what culottes are? Remember those?
Yes. So you can ride a bike.
Yes. So it was a skirt.
Play volleyball.
But it was really pants. Like it was split down the middle, whatever. She was wearing culottes and we were working in the garden and she could hear a car pull up. And frantically, she jumped up and said, oh my word. Oh my word. Jenny, you go to the door. And she's running. And I don't know why she's freaking out. She's freaking out because she's not wearing an actual skirt.
Mm-hmm.
I, as a little kid, did not realize this and thought that was something dangerous at the door that she was sending me to instead of going herself. Like, oh no, I can't go to the door. You go, Jenny. I was like, what? So like the pressure of pastors' wives is legit. It is a weird, real thing. So
here's an idea. Everyone go clean your pastor's house for them. That's there what I go. Say. Mm-hmm.
Maria says, LOL. I so feel that Tina with my hubs, especially with him about to become a vicar. I'm going to be a vicar's wife.
Everybody go clean Maria's house.
I did not share. I missed that until it was like too late to share it, but her husband got a promotion. And
yay!
So going to be a full under, that's so awesome. She's going to start the process. I feel like I need to take a course in baking.
No, you're wonderful. If your internet presence is any clue, those people are blessed to have you. So don't get it backwards.
Mm-hmm. The best advice a friend ever gave me, and she was a pastor's wife, when I went to her in a panic, and she said, there is only one qualification to be the pastor's wife. You have to be married to the pastor.
Yep.
That's it.
Yay.
And the rest of the time, you just do you.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah. How wonderful. That's exciting.
All right, Tina, how about you? You ready to share yours with us today?
Yeah. I'm not sure where I was going with this, but we'll see.
All right.
I own a ridiculous amount of can openers, Tanya said, and yet I can't find one of them. Where do they go? Do we have can opener gremlins living under the sink? I don't know, said Jimmy, obviously either not listening to a word she said, or simply not as concerned about the lack of ability to open the beef raviolis as she was. What am I going to feed these kids? She continued. Everything I have is in a can. Jimmy pulled out his pocket knife, pulling out the gadget she knew was a can opener, but had never been able to fathom how it actually worked. He expertly opened the can and gave Tanya a slight bow. She rolled her eyes and dumped the ravioli into the pot with a wet plop. What are you doing over there anyway? Asked Tanya. I'm making a big salad, he announced, concentrating on cutting up the boiled eggs. Tanya walked over and looked into the huge glass bowl decorated with red and yellow flowers. It was from that cooking show Ladies Brand. It was chock full of all kinds of vegetables. Where's the lettuce? Asked Tanya. I prefer a spinach salad, replied Jimmy. Then he reached over, grabbed a handful of baby spinach from its plastic container and tossed it onto the vegetables. Tanya shook her head and returned to the stove. stirring the raviolis just in the nick of time before they burned. A tow-headed boy in blue overall shorts and dirty bare feet ran into the kitchen. "Is it lunchtime yet?" he inquired. "In a moment, Charlie," replied Tanya, and after noticing the streak of dirt across his face and the blackness of his fingers, added, "Call everybody in to get cleaned up." A few minutes later, Tanya heard the front door bang and the stomping of many small feet racing for the bathroom, their voices calling out dibs. "When we get married," Jimmy said, "let's not have as many kids as your sister." Tanya turned and stared at him. He wasn't looking at her, but was concentrating on chopping a cucumber into bite-sized pieces. "Let me tell you something, Jimmy," she snapped, causing him to look up. "Don't be running around thinking I'm just going to run off and marry you, especially if that's the way you plan to propose." Then she picked up the pot of ravioli and marched into the dining room, realizing too late she'd forgotten to grab the bowls. She sat down in a chair. She'd be darned if she was going back in the kitchen now. Then Jimmy was beside her, setting the bowls on the table. 3, 2, 1.
Oh,
how fun.
Please develop this character more. Or a couple. This couple more. I want to hear more. I love her.
It might be based in reality.
I wonder. Lately.
My husband was actually doing that the other day. Mm. Had my big, huge glass bowl. It was like this big. And he had it all full of these vegetables. And there was no lettuce in it. And he grabbed like the smallest little handful of spinach. Like, I was cracking up. So, I
thought you were going to say that's how your husband proposed was. Like, when we get married, like, I love
it
that.
It was, really, because we were driving down the street and he saw a big blue house on a hill with a white picket fence and a wraparound white porch. And he said, "We're going to have a house like that one day."
Aww.
And then I'm like, "What, you think we're getting married or something?" He goes, "Yep." Then he took me to Zales and let me pick out a ring. Very romantic guy.
Yeah.
He wasn't a pastor then. You should probably clarify that he was not a pastor then.
No, he was not.
Why are pastors all romantic?
I don't know. I mean, I don't want for like Maria to be like,
Piper says that it's so sweet. Shell says, "Aw, great characters." I agree. Really great characters. Mm-hmm. Love it. All right. We say the best for last, Miss Rhonda Hagerman. Let's hear what you got.
Okay. Here's my 100 words. I own a ridiculous amount of seashells, but honestly, is that really possible? What is too many? Looking around the room, what used to be my daughter's bedroom and is now a 12 by 12 storage unit for my shells, I can see my precious collection through the eyes of a stranger. I close my eyes, trying to blank my mind and think of nothing seaworthy. Standing in the doorway of my own precious Atlantis, I pretend I'm standing in the waders of a stranger. Do I like what I see? To my left is a wall of shelving, each section a portal to past vacations. Wait, a stranger wouldn't know that. I rub my eyes and try again. I'll pretend I'm my husband. So this 12-foot bookshelf is where she stores totes and organizers and tins of something. Not labeled, but it looks neat enough, I guess. On the wall, on the next wall hangs two large bulletin boards, I assume. I can't see the boards, but large sections of the wall are covered in photos and magazine pages. Obviously, the photos are from vacations. Doesn't she go anywhere but the beach? But I have no idea what all these torn pages, these pages are torn out for. Messy, messy. Back to myself. I don't like the look on the stranger's face. And I shouldn't be talking to strangers anyway.
I didn't know this was going to be a biography.
Yeah. Is that exactly 100 words?
Oh, no. Actually, it's probably like 140.
It's great. Yeah. I love everything about it, especially
that last line.
Yeah, that last line does it, because I'm sitting here the whole time like, well, who cares if you like it that much? Like, seriously, at first you set me up with how much you love it.
Yeah.
And then you're like, but someone else doesn't like it. And it's like, I was so happy with that end. Yay. So satisfying.
I was struggling to, I was racing to get the last line in.
My besides the last line, my other favorite line is my own Atlantis. Standing in front of my own Atlantis. I'm like, so good.
Yeah, she loved it. The hyperbole. She kept building. It was great.
Yeah. Turning your daughter's bedroom, like thinking it over. Yeah, I love that part too.
Yeah, it was like it kept getting worse and then you stopped right there at the perfect one. Yeah. It was a really good joke, Rhonda.
Yeah, and I'm not the kind of mother who ever said, "Gina, when are you moving out? I need your room."
I know.
I lied. I do.
I might have said that to Chris the other day.
I came back freshman year. Now, mind you, I still live there. I just went off to college for a year, and my room had been turned into a sewing room, and there was one, like a twin bed in the corner for me to sleep in for the whole summer. I'm like, all right, that's my hint to get a job. So
that's hilarious.
Yeah, it's funny because my oldest one is working, but the little two see no reason to. So I started buying like generic brand potato chips. And I've been like, well, the name brand costs twice as much. I guess people with a job can go buy name brand. And then like my oldest does go buy name brand stuff. So the youngest are like getting a clue. It's awesome. Anyway, carry on.
Smart. That's brilliant.
Shell says tins of something. Yeah.
That's hilarious. Yes, the stranger would come in. They wouldn't know. I really, really like that whole thought experiment. It was great.
So backing up in the conversation just a little bit. Maria says, a vicar I know proposed to his wife on top of a hill in the Lake District. He always said he was really, she said yes, because it would have been very awkward to walk back down on the line. Yeah, I don't understand these proposals that people do in front of a ton of people. Like, I don't want that. Like, and I'm not a shy person, but it's like, then, because then what do you do afterwards? Yeah, yes, yeah, you hug, and then you just, and everyone's staring at you like,
okay, no, let me tell you a secret. If you're doing that, you're dating a girl who has explicitly told you that's what she wants.
Oh, probably.
Yes, because she, you know what I'm saying? Like, those girls want that, and you know that's what she wants. She's assigned someone to make sure it happens. You know what I mean? Like, that's why that happens.
That's hilarious.
My favorite proposal of someone I actually know was this girl and her boyfriend were both very into singing. Like, they traveled and they sang together, and they had gone to Europe, and he took her to Austria to the field where they filmed Do Re Mi.
Wow.
And he proposed to her in that field.
Did he sing Marry Me instead of Do Re Mi?
I don't think so. Oh.
Did she say yes?
Yeah. And they have a couple of kids now. And they're she said
no, but thanks for the free trip. It was really fun.
Yeah. Well, they were on a mission trip. It was.
Oh.
And they just like took a day to go. He took a day out
for a separate mission
to take her to that field.
Piper says, my husband took me shopping for the ring and then asked, wasn't I going to put it on? He never asked me.
So you could still say no. Is that what you're
saying?
That's
so cute. That's so cute.
Here's a nice compliment. Shell says, I love how you all use bits of your real lives in your pieces. We all have the funny moments we can use to flesh out stories and make them more real and relatable.
That's very good. That's like pullable. Yeah, it's really good.
Really appreciated. Mm-hmm. All right, favorite time of the episode. And then now comes the most dreaded time of the episode. Your what's next?
So, I know.
Ladies, what's coming up next in your writing career? So, Jamie, you said, I know. So, I'm going with you. You had something.
Well, here's the thing. Like, we all just go, why? Why? Because what we're trying to do is set ourselves up with a goal for next week. And we none of us want that. We none of us want to tell ourselves what to do. And it's like really sad that we're droopy about this. We should be like, yes, let's take on a challenge and seize the week. But no. So anyway, I will try to be an example. I'm going to come to my office hours this week. I have decided I'm going to try showing up at 8 with Jen, who's all chirpy at 8 o'clock. And I'm just go along with it. Anyway, so
yes, I am.
And then at 10, when my normal office hours show up, I will be explicitly working on my novel so that I will continue to block off from 10 to 12 because as long as I have forward progress on that monster, I'm good with me. So I think that's what I'm going to do this week because what I'm doing is seeing how the 8 to 10 block works for my family and am I really ready to work at that time or whatever. So that's me. Who's next?
I'll go next.
Wait. What? I'm sorry. Also, if you have not signed up for the Writing Shorts newsletter, I am taking And the Mom Ran Away with the Moon off as my freebie. I'm going to be giving away a different short story as a freebie. So if you want to get And the Mom Ran Away with the Moon for free, it's $2.99 normally on Amazon. You have to go to the Writing Shorts newsletter in January, www.writingshorts.net, because I'm taking that one off as my freebie. If you are my newsletter subscriber, you should already have it. If not, I'll be sending out the link in Monday's newsletter. Go, whoever.
All right. Piper says her what's next, finishing her edits, continuing to write better, faster class, and trying to learn more about myself. Want to publish by the end of the month.
Ooh, awesome. Exciting.
So my what's next is I am going to, again, start continue showing up at 8 a.m. as difficult as it is. I still am considering doing live sprints some of those days. So those of you, ladies and gentlemen in the chat, I'd like to know if you guys would be interested in doing live sprints again, like we did in November, because I don't want to do it if it's just going to be me, because I can do it myself without that. But I did enjoy that and it kept me more accountable. So I'm thinking maybe like Mondays and Wednesdays. So if that's interesting to you, please say so in the chat so I know whether to do that or not. My what's next for this week, this next week is I have Tina has it as well, but Joanna Penn's book on business plan. And we're going to be talking business plans next week, which Rhonda is spearheading for us. And but I thought I would get a head start with this. So my plan is to finish the Joanna Penn book. So I kind of have like a rough draft of what I'm going to be doing in my business plan. I also plan on cleaning my office, like unpacking it entirely, because I need to find an item that we're going to use for future episode that we're doing in here. So yeah, so that's what my what's next is. Teresa or Jason says that he's interested, and so is Teresa. So all right, so Monday morning, 8 a.m. So you're there.
So will that be a live sprint then? Like, because I just, like, am I showing up and I'll be sprinting?
Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep.
All right, great. How about you, Rhonda? What's your what's next?
My what's next is I'm going to focus more on my nonfiction in the year coming up without neglecting my fiction. I'm going to try to do 2 sprints every day on my fiction. I'm not going to try. I'm going to do 2 sprints a day on my fiction so that there's still continuous improvement on that novel. Mm-hmm. But I really want to get my nonfiction off the ground and flying by the end of the year. So awesome. That's my focus. And at least through the end of March, I'm going to try to do the 8 o'clock office hours as well through noon, because I want that chunk of time to be focused. And then the rest of the day, I want to be able to forget about it because there's a beach like 100 feet away from me right now. Mm-hmm. So I want to spend more time on that. So yeah, that's where I am.
I don't think you actually mentioned that you were in Florida.
Oh, I'm in Florida.
Just that you were at the beach.
Yes.
Yeah. If he was, she was in Michigan at the beach, it'd be a totally different feel right now. Lake Michigan's beautiful in the winter.
She
but...
a shovel to find shells.
Yes.
Right. Shells are pretty lacking up there.
Shell says there was next. She's writing another short story. The goal is at least 200 words a day and one short story a month all year. Would like to end up with a few stories I can polish and publish next year. Great goal. Teresa says, what's next? Getting my rough draft onto my Kindle so I can do my first full read through and start a round of edits. So yeah, Piper says, I was wondering if the beach was covered with snow. It is here for sure. All right, Tina, save the best for last. What's your what's next?
My what's next is to continue in my story genius process and see how that goes. I would really, in an ideal world, like to show up from 8 to 12. For office hours. However, I'm also trying to get exercise into my life in the mornings, and because I've been having trouble sleeping at night, and exercise actually energizes me. And so when I've been doing it in the afternoon, then I can't sleep at night. So I want to do it in the morning. So I've made appointments at the pool at the Y 2 weekdays a week. So I won't be able to do it on those days. So priorities, right? But I also need to develop a business plan, and I know that only writing from 10 to 12 on weekdays is not enough if I'm going to be an entrepreneur. So I need to step that up somehow.
All right. Sounds so that's good. It. All right. Great. Well, I am really looking forward to next week's episode, to be completely honest, because I think probably I'm going to learn the same thing that Tina has already come to realize, is that the 2 hours I've set aside is not going to be enough. Though I have to homeschool after that, I'm going to have to have a hard conversation with my family about carving out time later in the day as well for me to get things done. Or I'm going to have to get up earlier. which is going to be hard too. So I'm looking forward to next week. Can't wait to see what all the rest of you are going to be planning for your business as well. So if we have nothing else to...
Oh, my book's on sale for 99 cents for the ebook. Ooh. For a limited time. I should probably mention that.
Should definitely mention that. All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for joining us today. And till next week, may your pen be prolific. May your deadlines be met. And may all of your words honor Christ. Bye now.
Bye.
Bye.